special city council meeting of Monday, May 10th, 2020. We are being held virtually, and this is our call to order. City Clerk Sims, if you do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
And Mayor Lee.
And I'm here as well. Very good. So I will go ahead and open up items to public comment tonight. During this time, the council will allow public communications with additional communication during the course of the regular meeting, if necessary. Do we have anyone on the line for public comments?
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then this is an opportunity for closed session. So I'll turn it to our city attorney for the intention to announce closed session.
Thank you, Mayor. The council is about to convene in a closed session for two agenda items. The first is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54 and 957.6. Agency negotiators are special counsel Jay Johnson, city manager Matthew Bronson, administrative services director Deanna Purcell, financial manager Annette Munoz, and the management analyst human resources Carla Maddox. The represented employee group is general employees, services employees, international union local 620 SEIU. Second item on your agenda is a conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation. This is initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4, subdivision D of section 54 and 956.9, and it represents two cases. And that's it.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Let's see if there's any questions of council before we go into closed session. Very good. Not seeing any hands raised. I'll check just one more time. Make sure, do we have any public communications on the closed session item?
No, we have no one online.
Very good. Then we will go ahead and recess into closed session, and we'll ask those not announced by the city attorney to kindly step off the line, and we'll see you all back in a little bit. Everybody here, looks like I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and then, so I don't, oh, there's Robert. Okay, great. It is 6 o'clock. I will call to order our Grover Beach City Council meeting, which is being held virtually for this Monday, May 10th, 2020 at 6 p.m. This is our call to order, which is in compliance with state and county sheltered home orders. These meetings are being held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on channel 20 and is available live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public can provide public comment during the meeting by calling in at 805-321-6639, and those phone lines are open now. So with that, that'll take us to our moment of silence, where I do want to just ask everybody to bow their heads. And as a moment of reflection, a moment of silence, just remember something positive that you've taken from today's day in your life, and hopefully to carry that through into other days. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in that moment of positive reflection. So, and next, that brings us to our flag salute, where we are. I'm very happy that we have brought back our students of the world to do our flag salute. And tonight, we have Dana Petker joining us for the flag salute. She is 14 years old, and she's in the 8th grade at Paulding Middle School. She enjoys school, art, surfing, go figure, and being on the Paulding Middle School track and field team. So she's also the daughter of our Parks and Rec director, Kathy Petker. So Dana, thank you for joining us tonight. If you would lead us in the flag salute, please.
Thank you. Cross your hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, over all, indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you very much, Dana. Appreciate that. So, and even sitting down, you are now taller than your mom. So very good. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for leading us in the flag salute, and always enjoyable. So, so with that, Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
And Mayor Lee.
I'm here as well. So, and I'm going to turn to our city attorney now and ask that he provide closed session announcements. And perhaps I may be in a little bit of dodgy water in the fact that we did have a closed session before our regular meeting tonight, and I probably should have closed that first before we moved into our virtual meeting here. So, but Mr. Hales, wondering if you could do some closed session announcements for us, please.
You're fine, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. There is two items that we had on the agenda and our closed session. One was conference with labor negotiators, and this was with the representative employee group, general employees, service employees, international union, local 620, SEIU. No reportable actions on that matter. And there was also two other matters in the conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. And again, there was no reportable action in that matter either.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that update. That will take us to our agenda review, where at this time the City Council can review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests from staff or themselves about any changes to the order of the day. So just by a quick unmuting of your microphone, does any council member have any changes to the agenda that they'd like to make this evening? Seeing no microphones go live, I'll go ahead and look for a motion to proceed with the agenda as published.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. We will go ahead and proceed with the agenda as published. And that takes us to our ceremonial calendar this evening. So our first one is a proclamation for Public Works Appreciation Week. And as a Public Works employee by day, I will go ahead and look forward to reading that proclamation. So unless Mr. City Manager, is there anything that you want to do as a way of introductory comments for this item?
No, sir. I think you are an appropriate choice given your line of work.
Very good. Thank you very much. So, and in anticipation for the next proclamation, Councilmember Robert, I didn't ask you to do it beforehand, but I'm hoping that you can read the proclamation for National Police Week in just a moment. So,
certainly.
Very good. So with that, this is a proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council declaring National Public Works Week, May 16th to the 22nd, 2021, as we are stronger together. So whereas public works professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are of vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to the public health, high quality of life, and well-being of the people of the city of Grover Beach. Whereas these infrastructure, facilities, and services could not be provided without the dedicated efforts of public works professionals who are engineers, managers, and employees at all levels of government and the private sector, who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting our nation's transportation, water supply, water treatment, and solid waste systems, our public buildings, and other infrastructures and facilities essential for our citizens. Whereas it is in the public interest for the citizens, civic leaders, and children in Grover Beach to gain knowledge of and to maintain an ongoing interest and understanding of the importance of public works and public works programs in their respective communities. Whereas in 1962, President John F. Kennedy designated the first National Public Works Week to pay tribute to our public works employees for their substantial contributions to our national health and welfare. Whereas the American Public Works Association's 2021 National Public Works Week theme is Stronger Together, which celebrates the vital role that public works plays in connecting us all together. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby proclaim the week of May 16th to the 22nd, 2021, as National Public Works Week in the city of Grover Beach, and calls upon all citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved in providing our public works, our public works services, and to recognize the contributions of public work professionals who work tirelessly to provide, maintain, and improve the structures and services that assure a high quality of life for our community. So with that, I'm guessing that our City Engineer Public Works Director, Greg Ray, is here to receive that proclamation and make any comments.
I am, and thank you, Mayor Lee and the City Council for bestowing this honor and reflection on all the great things that the public folks who work in public works do for us every day. It is an honor for me to accept the proclamation on behalf of the city and in particular the Public Works Department. And I think I'd like to really focus in on all the hard work and efforts of our small but mighty crew of nine who make sure that on a daily basis our streets are clean and potholes are patched and our sewer and water systems work as they're supposed to, and that tree limbs are removed when they need to be and sidewalks are repaired so people don't trip. I mean, they're sort of the unsung heroes, but at the same time, without them, I don't think life would be the same in Grover Beach. So I think it's with a hearty shout out to our Public Works crew that I do accept this on behalf of the Public Works Department. And thank you again.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So, and keep up the good work. Let's see if there's any council members that you want that want to speak on this item. Go ahead and unmute yourself. Seeing no council members unmute themselves, we will say thank you on behalf of the council and keep up the good work. So that will close our first ceremonial item, and then that'll take us to our second ceremonial calendar item, which is a proclamation for National Police Week. And Councilmember Robert, if you would read that, and I'm guessing that our police chief is here to accept that, but I don't quite see him yet, or I don't see his. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I am.
So, very good. Councilmember Robert, if you would please.
Proclamation of Grover Beach City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring the week of May 9th through May 15th, 2021 as National Police Week in the City of Grover Beach. Whereas the Congress and President of the United States has designated May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day and the week in which it falls as Police Week. And whereas from the beginning of this nation, law enforcement officers, have played an important role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms which are guaranteed by the Constitution and in protecting the lives and property of our citizens. And whereas in 2020, an average of one law enforcement officer was killed in the line of duty in the United States every 24 hours and over 22,600 United States law enforcement officers have made the ultimate sacrifice. And whereas in 2020, 362 law officers were killed in the line of duty nationwide, 234 law enforcement officers died of COVID-19 after contracting the illness while on duty, 18 law officers were killed in the state of California. And whereas it is important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police department, and that members of our police department recognize their duty to serve the people by safeguarding life and property, by protecting the people against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the vulnerable against oppression or intimidation. And whereas the Grover Beach Police Department has grown to be a modern and technology scientific law enforcement agency where its members play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the citizens of Grover Beach. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of Grover Beach hereby proclaims the week of May 19th through 15th, 2021 as National Police Week in honor of the men and women who, through their outrageous, courageous deeds, have lost their lives or have become disabled in the line of duty. In witness thereof, I have hereby set my hand, Mayor has set his hand, and caused the seal of this Grover Beach City to be affixed this sixth day of April 2020. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Councilmember Robert, for reading that proclamation, and we'll turn it over to our police chief, Chief Peters, if you wanted to make any comments.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, and members of the community, we appreciate you issuing this proclamation tonight in honor of the peace officers who have made the ultimate sacrifice in the protection of our communities and of the rights of our citizens. You never know when and where it may happen. We do appreciate the recognition and honor of those fallen officers. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Chief, for those comments. Let's see if there's any members of the council that want to make any comments. Go ahead and unmute yourself. Seeing no one unmute themselves, Chief, I'll just say thank you to you and your entire staff for keeping the city safe, and to being that technology-driven department that is in tune with the community and in tune with issues of the world as well. So very well done, and likewise, keep up the good work, please.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. So that does close our ceremonial items for this evening, and we don't have any presentations, so I will go ahead and open up for public communications, where at this time the council will allow public communication with additional communications, if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So if there is any member of the public that wants to speak, please call in at 805-321-6639, and I'll check with our city clerk, see if there's any members who want to speak under public comment tonight.
Yes, we have Jim Joffe.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Joffe.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council.
Good evening, sir.
I have a letter I've written, and I'm going to read it to you. I've sent this also to your city council's official mail. I am requesting the city council to enhance existing litter ordinances based on the following scenarios. I would like to see the ban of delivery of advertising material, literature, and any object delivered to a residence by being thrown from a car or a person onto one's property. An example would be the common delivery of phone books. However, one of the problems is that the material is not expediently retrieved by the residential occupant and could be potentially left for days and even weeks, signaling to potential thieves that the residence is obviously unoccupied and ripe for theft. One could go far as to say a potential thief could purposely place something on a person's property and monitor removal to see if anyone is home. Additionally, allowing objects of any kind to be placed on any person's property without prior permission begs the question that any business can place things on one's property to have it be legal for any and all business to participate in this manner, creating the potential for hundreds of things to be thrown on their property. This is littering, plain and simple. I also like to see the ban of placement of windshield wipers on parked vehicles. My vehicle is my personal property, and I do not feel anyone has the right to touch it, even damage it by breaking a windshield wiper, as an example. Also, the litter aspect is prevalent in that these flyers most of the times attach to the windshield, creating unwanted litter blowing all over the city. But the most important reason to ban this type of solicitation is to prevent potential criminals using this method as a guise to look in your car for valuables to steal. I respectfully ask the council into strengthening our existing littering ordinances. Thank you very much.
Apparently was still muted. I apologize for that. Let's check in. Thank you, Jim, for those comments, Mr. Joffe. So let's check in with our city clerk, see if there's any other members on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment then, and realizing we did have a request from a member of the public regarding this, let me turn to the city manager just to see if there's any initial response that we can get. Otherwise, we can have you and Mr. Hale do a little background research for us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I think given the request, we could do some background research and provide some further information to the council about what our code currently allows or doesn't allow and what resources would be needed to bring something back to you. We are bringing back a code enforcement discussion to the council later this year, and we have a number of items that we could incorporate within that particular agenda item, and we could include this one as one of those.
Okay, with that, I'll look to the council to see if there's concurrence for the city manager to add this item into that code enforcement or code compliant conversation. Everybody good with that? Very good. Mr. Bronson, looks like you have some added item for the code compliance discussion. Very good. So that will take us to our consent agenda, where we have a number of routine items that are listed on the agenda and are scheduled for consideration as a group. The recommendations are noted in parentheses, and any member of the public may speak on an item listed on the consent agenda. So I'll first turn to our members of the City Council, see if there's any questions on an item on the consent agenda. So Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No, I don't have any questions. I do have a comment on item 4, but that's all.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts, any questions?
Sorry to get to my mute button. No questions at this time, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller, any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Rushing.
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
Very good. And I didn't have any questions either. I would like to, after we take action, I would like to reserve some time to allow the appointments to the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission an opportunity to introduce themselves. So I'll call on you when we get to that moment. So, before we have comments, let's see if there's any member of the public that want to speak under public comment on the consent agenda. If so, please call in at 805-321-6639, and I'll check in with our city clerk and see if there's any members on the line for public comment under the consent agenda.
No, I have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you very much. I will go ahead and bring it back to the council after having closed public comment on the consent agenda, and I'll turn to Council or Mayor Pro Tem Bright for comment on number 4.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out an item that was in the COVID update, and that is how remarkable the My Local program is, according to our city manager's item. Between February 5th and May 5th, $86,750 of additional spending happened for our local businesses due to the Buy Local program. And I just think that's marvelous, and I just wanted to point that out. So thank you, Mr. Bronson, for that information. I'm just so pleased to hear that. So thanks for the opportunity to point that out.
Always good, and definitely appreciate that. I actually did ask Mr. Bronson to perhaps plant a seed with the Chamber of Commerce as well about perhaps acknowledging the top users of the program in an upcoming meeting. So he'll be having that discussion with the Chamber and to see, because we've got with that amount of funding in the Buy Local program, we've got a lot of locals that are doing their part, and be great to identify those and say thank you to everyone who's using it, but especially the ones that are doing it on a daily basis or as often as they can. So very good. So with that, let's go ahead and see if we have someone ready for a motion on the consent agenda.
Okay, I'll move to approve the consent agenda items as recommended.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Miller, second by Councilmember Roberts. And before a vote, just a quick item on item number 7. We have 3 fabulous candidates for consideration tonight, we'll look forward to introducing them in just a moment. So, City Clerk Sims, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
And Mayor Lee?
Yes. Very good. So we do have an approved consent agenda, which does include 3 appointments to the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. So in alphabetical order, let's first say thank you and welcome to Cassie D. and see if she wants to say a few words.
Hi there, everyone. My name is Cassie D. I have been a resident of Grover Beach for most of my life. My family has been a part of the community for a very, very long time. I'm just very excited for this opportunity to be part of the Parks and Recreation and Beautification Commission. And I'm just really happy to be continuing my family's legacy. So thank you all very much. That is said family.
That's wonderful. Thank you and welcome. So thank let's you. Turn over to Donna De La Rosa. So for welcome and introductions.
Hi, I'm Donna De La Rosa, and I've lived in Grover Beach since I transferred here, having a state job in 1999, I think it was. I can't even remember now. But I've been here a long time, and I'm very, very happy here, and I'm really excited about just getting actively involved. Since I've retired, I've been busy with other things, and I really am looking forward to being active with my community. So thank you very much.
Very good, and welcome aboard. So next, certainly last but certainly not least, Kara Ramirez. So welcome to the commission, and let's see if you wanted to take a moment to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Kara Ramirez, and I am a parent here, and I'm a teacher here now. So I'm looking forward to being part of Parks and Rec from a parent perspective, as well as, from somebody who's really invested in our community and the young ones in our city, and how I can impact youth that will hopefully become our voters in the near future. So it's all a circle, and I'm very aware of that, and I'm very excited to be a part of this city on Parks and Rec.
Very good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. The fact that there's three large smiles on each of your faces says it all for me, and the fact that Parks and Rec has always been the spot that everybody loves to start, because you're doing wonderful things for the city, and it's always a very positive experience. So thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to hearing your recommendations and working with you on the commission. So let's see if there's any member of the council that want to say anything as ways of introduction for you. And I see Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to thank you so much for stepping up and taking part in one of our committees. Actually, I started there. It was Grover Beach Beautification way back when I started there, and it was always so much fun. But it's also important as well. So thank you so much for doing this, and I really look forward to meeting those of you who I don't really know. And I'm just really pleased. Three women. Yay.
Hey.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
Well, congratulations, ladies. Thank you for serving. We look forward to seeing what you can do. The Parks and Recs has always done a fabulous job, and it's always, as Mayor said, a fun place to start. So I wish you all the best. I look forward to meeting each one of you. And just thank you so much for service.
Very good. And I'll see if Councilmember Rushing or Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Rushing.
Hop in. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming in and offering up your service. This is fantastic. This group is amazing. Cassie and Kara, I've known for a little while. Donna, I can't wait to meet you in person at some point in the near future. Thank you so much for stepping up for your community. I know there's a lot that we're going to do together. So thank you again.
Very good. And Councilmember Miller.
Yes, thank you. So congratulations. So excited for each one of you. And I echo the words of my colleagues. I'm always excited to see additional resident engagement. So again, welcome and thank you.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. We look forward to seeing you again real soon, and having live activities come back to the city in a big way. So thank you very much. Very good. So that does close our consent agenda, and that takes us to our public hearings this evening. So we do have the first public hearing, which if anyone does want to call in and speak on this item, please call in at 805-321-6639. And item number 8 is a water shortage stage 1 declaration and first reading of an ordinance amending the city municipal code article 7 public works chapter 2 mandatory water conservation. And I'll turn it to our city engineer public works director Greg Ray for a presentation.
Thank you, honorable mayor and city council. We have a fairly brief item for you tonight, as we've covered much of this in a previous council meeting. But essentially, this is a continuation of the council direction provided in April of 2021, where we presented council with the status of the city's current water supplies. And the council provided a direction to implement the stage 1 water shortage, and also direction to amend the city municipal code to specify that violations of the adopted water conservation measures are, in fact, a violation of Section 7202 of the City Municipal Code, which is the water conservation component of that municipal code. So a couple of actions before tonight. Enacting a Stage 1 water shortage condition does require that the council hold a public hearing to hear protests on the declared stage water shortage condition, and also to adopt a resolution declaring that stage 1 water shortage condition. Then the second part of that, amending the city municipal code, requires basically conducting two readings of the ordinance, including a public hearing at least one of those readings. Next slide, please. Looking at the resolution from a 30,000 foot level and just some of the highlights, the declaration and resolution assign a baseline water budget for each customer that will be based on the customer's water usage in each of the billing periods for the previous year prior to the declaration. So that'd be prior to tonight. It also establishes a procedure to adjust the established water budgets for each customer should a customer request that. It establishes appeal procedures and an appeals board, which consists of myself and the administrative services director. And then it also changes the existing water wasting prohibitions from voluntary to mandatory. And finally, establishes the excessive use penalties, which are those that will be, that mechanism is as a result of amending the ordinance, as we'll also be doing this evening. Next slide, please. The ordinance amending the municipal code, again, a flyover on that. The ordinance provides for the water shortage declaration procedure by resolution, and that procedure now becomes a part of the municipal code, which means from time to time, the council can pass resolutions to adopt different stages of water shortage declarations. It adopts the water wasting prohibitions identified in the Urban Water Management Plan as part of the City Municipal Code. It provides that any violation of the mandatory water conservation measures, again, constitutes a violation of Section 7202, and that those violations are subject to the remedies identified in Chapter 4 of the City Municipal Code, which are essentially administrative citations. And it eliminates some very old language in the code that's been floating around there since 1989, at which time there was a water shortage and the city had a moratorium on building. That has not been in place since 1989, so we're just eliminating that language as a result of this ordinance. Next slide, please. So jumping quickly to the end, the recommendation from staff tonight is to conduct a public hearing to allow customers of the city's water supply an opportunity to be heard and to protest against the water shortage declaration and to present their respective needs to the council. And also to conduct a public hearing for the first reading and introduction of an ordinance amending parts 3 and 4 of chapter 2 of article 7 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code and schedule the second reading and adoption at the next regularly scheduled council meeting. And that's what I have for you tonight. The ordinance and resolutions are both attachments to your report. And I will turn it back to you, Mayor Lee.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's first ask if there's any members of the council that have any questions on this item. So let's start with Councilmember Rushing.
Sorry, too many mice here. No, I've got no questions. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
No questions, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I have no questions at this time.
Very good. So just one very quick clarification, and I think I know the answer. I just want to ask it. The process does call for two public hearings. Can we, Mr. Attorney, Mr. Hale, can they be a single public hearing for both items?
Yes, you can. You could put them together if you want to.
Very good. Thank you very much. Then I will open this public hearing for discussion on public hearing to allow consumers of the city's water supply to protest against the water shortage, as well as a public hearing for a first reading and introduction by title only of ordinance amending parts 3 and 4 of chapter 2 of article 7 of the Gower Beach Municipal Code. So let's see, Madam City Clerk, do we have any members of the public that want to speak on this item?
Yes, we have Mr. John Weisong.
Very good. Good evening, Mr. Weisong. So.
Hello, I'm John A. Weisong. I'm about to end my journey here. I've watched people and politicians. The smart, intelligent people got a junior high diploma, and then they got a high school diploma, and then they went to college and got a diploma. Well, those intelligent people today, well, I observe, they have no common sense, and that's the truth. In today's paper was extreme drought. I think they should go to that moratorium, no building. County, well, all county. You see, I go back a while. I think it was 1970. We had a moratorium, and we 1980, and we had a lot of people there, and we had to take them over to Trueville and have the meeting, and all the contractors were there. They outnumbered me, but if these smart, intelligent people had ever listened to me, we would have the water that's going in Lake Pacific, and we'd have it here to use. But, you know, I went through a one-room school. I went through the Depression. But I know a hell of a lot because I've crossed this country 25 times. I've seen what they do. I've talked to farmers back there, and they have plenty of water because they've got the reverse osmosis. They have it over here at Diablo. This county owns that. So this county and Diablo can get water for Grover. But you know, it takes common sense. And we don't have that here. So, you know, I wanted to talk in public communications, but they didn't call me. You know, it's getting so dysfunctional at my age to have to go through this mess. I know I'll be departing pretty soon here, but I don't want to pay extra water when it could have been solved 12 years ago. And I told everybody, and then the chairman of the supervisors told me, Wade Horton, oh, John, we don't have the money. Well, you dumb bunny. Back there, they don't have money either. But they have the politicians that we elect to get the material and the thing to go on. And here we sit here 12 years, and we could have water. And now then, do I have to go through the same thing as 3 years ago? I got my water shut off.
Very good, John. Thank you for your comments.
Isn't that wonderful for an old man?
Thank you, John. Appreciate your comments tonight. So, very good. Let me check in with our city clerk, see if there's other members of the public that are on the line for this public hearing.
Yes, we have Bruce Severance.
Good evening, Mr. Severance. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment. I support water conservation, but I wanted to make sure that there were allowances for changes in occupancy, especially during COVID. We've had many situations with families, you know, sharing residences as some people have become homeless. So I would say that if we're benchmarking water usage from last year to the current year to as an indication of whether or not people are meeting a water conservation effort, it's very important to have allowances for changes in occupancy. In our own situation, we currently live in a home that was unoccupied for most of last year. And we just moved into at the end of September of last year. So the water bill that we have would indicate a home that had nobody living in it for most of the year. And if we were to be benchmarked against that, it would look like we were wasting water when in fact we're conserving. So I just ask for fairness and how changes in occupancy are registered in the system as you try to benchmark people from prior year. Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, sir. I'll look to staff to address those comments after we close the public hearing. So I will turn it back over to our city clerk, see if there's other members of the public on the line this evening.
No, I have no one else for this item.
Very good. Thank you for that. I will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council for a discussion. But before we do that, I will make a statement that I think Mr. Wysong can probably be considered a protest under this. I hope that his time is not too short on this planet, but I know he was suggesting a moratorium, so I'll consider him a protest vote. And then I'll turn to either Mr. Bronson or Mr. Ray to outline the process or in response to the question that Mr. Severance brought up about benchmarking of water use.
I'd be happy to address that. So Mr. Severance's question is addressed in the resolution that you'll be passing this evening, and that is the resolution basically establishes that I have the authority as your public works director to look at individual water accounts and make adjustments based on unique circumstances, and specifically the circumstances that Mr. Severance has mentioned, a house that was unoccupied, for example, during the billing periods of the previous year. That certainly will be taken into consideration, as well as changes in household size and changes in conditions. You know, I do anticipate we'll get a number of those requests, and we'll review them individually, make a determination, and then ultimately that determination also could be appealed if for some reason the customer still disagrees with our determination. And then I would, if you'd like me to also comment on Mr. Wysong's comment.
Certainly, yes, please.
Yes, so I think, you know, we're in a situation here where we have a occasional shortage in water supply brought about by drought. A building moratorium would probably be more appropriate in response to a situation where we have reached total maximum usage of our current water supply, and under normal conditions, we don't have enough water to support additional development. And in that case, a moratorium does make sense. However, in the case of this being a hopefully short-term drought situation, we attempt to balance our water supplies using conservation measures such as the one before you tonight. And then I would add simply that we are looking at a water resiliency project that includes something very similar to to reverse osmosis. It's more of a microfiltration type project, but it would in fact provide that resiliency so that folks like John Wysong would not have to go through this water conservation effort on a every time basis that the drought comes about. I'll add that I did see some amazing modeling work today, which is just released today by the Northern City Management Area Technical Group, that shows the actual impacts of the proposed recycled water project on saltwater intrusion and the quality of water in and about the city's municipal wells. And it's very, very exciting news. So we're moving in the right direction.
Very good. Thank you for those responses to those questions. Let's see if any member of the council has questions generated by the public comment or what Mr. Ray followed up with. So I'll start with Council Member Roberts.
I have no questions, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Council Member Miller.
I have a comment, but no questions. Thank you.
Very good. Council Member Rushing.
No, Mr. Ray covered my questions. Thank you.
Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Brett?
No, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Very good. Then Councilmember Miller, go ahead and make your comments, please.
Thank you. Just wanted to say that with the anticipated shortage in water supply, I think it's imperative that we take action now to implement measures needed to conserve water and reduce waste. It's the responsible thing to do. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. And it looks like we are ready for a motion, depending upon who wants to make that.
Okay. Well, so can I, shall I do these in one motion or I'll just do it in two motions, I guess.
Yeah, since they're both public hearings, let's go ahead and do it in two motions, please.
Will do. Okay. So, I move that we conduct a public hearing to allow consumers of the city's water supply to protest against the water shortage declaration and to present their respective needs to the council.
And actually, looking at that I don't know if we needed a motion for that one. Is that?
No, I guess not. I don't know. I mean, we've already done that, haven't we?
So I believe we have.
All right, then. So then I'll move that we conduct a public hearing. We've already done this too. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, if I might help out, I think we're looking for a motion to adopt the resolution, and we're looking for a motion to, or the second motion would be to adopt the ordinance at the next regularly scheduled council meeting.
Okay, well, so moved.
I'll second that.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Thank you, Mr. Ray, for that clarification. So I'll turn it over to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we have conducted the public hearing. We've approved a resolution, and we'll look forward to the second reading of the ordinance at our next meeting.
And it truly takes a
Yes, indeed. So that takes us to item number 9. So if anyone wanting to make a public comment on item number 9, please call in at 805-321-6639. And that'll take us to the adoption of our proposed water and wastewater rate increases. I'll turn it over to our Administrative Services Director, Deanne Purcell.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight I'm here to present the adoption of the proposed water and wastewater rate increases. Well, let's start off with our background. We had a utility rate study that was conducted by Wildan Financial Services. Chris Fisher and Kevin Burnett are here tonight to answer any questions at the end of my presentation. The rate study was presented to Council on February 22nd, 2021, and the desired outcome of the study ensures that rates are sufficient to cover ongoing maintenance and operations, that rates can fund needed capital projects that we have of over $10 million, and that rates support debt service obligations. In addition, we have the Central Coast Blue Recycled Water Project. And that's, we are partnering with Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach. It will provide adequate water supply to all customers during drought conditions. And it's not currently included in our rate structure. So future water rates must provide funding for city share of costs for the Central Coast Blue project. Included in these new rates is a tiered rate structure for residential water billings. It's in three tiers. Costs will increase with each tier. And here's an example for the first 10 units. The cost would be $2.84 a unit. And the next 12 units, it would be $5.87. For 23 units and up, it would be $8.47. This would be for a typical single family home using 14 units of water every 2 months or 7 units a month. They will actually see a decrease of about $28.33 per billing cycle. So that's every 2 months. To show a comparison between the existing and the proposed, this is for a typical single family home combined bill for water and sewer. It's a bi-monthly bill. So actually the low and the average users will be seeing a decrease, as I was talking about. The low end users will see a decrease of about $18.58 every 2 months, and the average user $28.33. And then the high end users will see an increase of $16.85. About 60% of our customers fall in that low end profile. Average customers, about 20% of our customers fall in this range. And then at the high end, about 20% of our customers fall in the high end range. Looking at the water rate comparison by city, this chart is a comparison of the average single family residential total utility bill for water and sewer. This is, again, a bi-monthly usage of 14 units. And where we stand right now, we're kind of in the middle of all the comparative cities. The average bill for a two-month period would be about $197.70. With our new rate structure, you see we would fall down to the $169 range, and we would be the second lowest in the county for our water rates. For commercial, existing versus proposed, for a 3/4-inch meter bi-monthly bill, existing and proposed, for low, average, and high-end users, all would see an increase. For the low-end user, they'd see about $11 increase every 2 months. For an average user, about a $22 increase. And for a high-end user, about $42 increase every 2 months. About 61% of our customers fall in the low range, 25% fall in the average range, and about 14% fall in that high range. So here are our proposed rate increases. For the first 2 years, fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, we're looking at a water rate and sewer rate increase of 2% each. In fiscal year 24, a water rate increase of 3% and a sewer rate increase of 2%. And that's when Central Coast Blue project goes into effect. That's when you see a larger increase in the water rates. Fiscal year 25 and 26 would be looking at a 4% increase each year for water rates and a 2% for the sewer rates. So for the Prop 218 hearing, the notices were mailed on March 25th, 2021. This falls within the 45-day notification period requirement of our hearing tonight. This went out to all utility, water, and utility customers and owners of property that receive water and or wastewater services. A majority protest would have to be 2,471 customers. And as of May 6th, we've received 8 protests. So the recommendation tonight would be to conduct the Proposition 218 public hearing and determine the official number of written protests received. And if the number of valid protest votes is below 50%, adopt the resolution amending the master fee schedule for water and wastewater rates, or provide staff with alternate direction. So again, we have Chris Fisher and Kevin Burnett from Wheeldown here to help answer any questions and comments. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Purcell, for that presentation. Let's check in with council members first to see if there's any questions of either yourself or the gentleman from Willdan. So we'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. So I don't have too many questions, just a couple of clarifications, I suppose. So then the water rates, as they are proposed, will provide sufficient funding for our city's financial obligation to the Central Coast Blue Project. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And this assumes no grant funding. So if we have grant funding, then you would have the discretion to increase our rates by a lower amount if we weren't to need that additional amount due to having a grant fund.
Terrific. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then within the fee structure, one of the first, I think one of the first line items is a boarding house. Do we have such a thing in our city? Is that like a vacation rental, like owner-occupied vacation rental, or what would a boarding house be? Can you just, I'm just curious.
Well, you kind of caught me off guard there. I am not sure. That's okay. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'm not sure what that falls under, but I will find out for you.
Okay. Thank you. And those are my questions for now.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Very good. Next, I'll go to Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mayor Lee. I think this is just a clarifying question. So the rates that are potentially being adopted, those are just caps. And so those are the kind of the max that we could raise rates to, but on an annual basis, we would review information and possibly adopt a lower increase. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good, Councilmember Rushing.
Councilmember Miller literally asked my question, so thank you very much.
Very good, Councilmember Roberts. City Attorney Hale.
Yeah, I wanted to answer Councilmember. It's typically a home where an individual rents out rooms for extended periods of time. They're probably more common back east than they are on the West Coast, but it's just typically a home where I rent out a room to somebody for a year, per se.
Very good. And then Councilmember Roberts, any questions?
Question. I'm curious, we have a very low protest rate, but I didn't see any of those protests. Did they say why they protested it? Just out of curiosity, why they protested as lowering the rate? Ms. Purcell?
And I might have to defer to City Manager Bronson or our city clerk who received the protest for that. If they had any comments, I did not see the protest myself. And
of course, those could be the higher end users protesting, but yeah, I didn't see those either.
Yeah. And just to answer, Catherine Robert, in looking at the protest, I would say that in general, the theme was just a philosophical opposition to raising utility rates, either at this particular time, given where we are with COVID, or in general. They didn't tie specifically to individual situations by and large, but just more of a general conceptual opposition to the increase.
Okay. Thank you. That was all.
Very good. Thank you for that question. So perhaps just a quick follow-up question. This might either be for Mr. Fisher or Mr. Burnett. Are we required to keep the protests on file in City Hall for a particular length of time? And are those open to members of the public to view those protests?
This is Chris Fisher. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Make sure I unmuted myself correctly. It's my understanding is, and maybe Mr. Hale can confirm, that they're subject to standard public record keeping requirements. So I think it's 2 years that you keep the protests. But I could be, it might be longer, but I think it's 2 years.
Okay. Mayor, I agree with Mr. Burnett. In fact, I was trying to look up real quickly the Proposition 218 Omnibus Implementation Act. But I do believe within that act, it does require to maintain those as a public record. and I want to say it's probably about 2 years, but I can look that up for you and let you know in a few minutes.
Very good. So Councilmember Robert, looks like you have your hand raised for another question.
Yes, Mr. Hill, and those are available for anyone in the public to look at, the private protests, or can anyone look at those?
They're not private. To the extent that they are submitted to the council for purposes of registering a protest, they are a public record, and they are subject to disclosure if somebody wants to look at them.
Thank you.
Also subject to probably redaction of public of personal information, I would imagine, as well, correct?
If we requested that, but I'll defer to Mr. Burnett because I didn't see the ballots that went out. Generally, the only thing they have to put on there, because their identification of their home and so forth is on the ballot, is whether they're protesting it or not.
Okay.
And it's actually not even on there. It's on the envelope. The notice itself is completely generic. Excuse me.
Okay. So from that perspective, it sounds like it is an anonymous protest, which is even better for public.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Great. So before we do open this public hearing, I will invite folks to call in at 805-321-6639. And before I open the public hearing, I'll turn to our city clerk and see how many official protests have we received.
We did go and just check the box outside, and as of right now, we have a total of 11.
Very good. Thank you for that. So I will go ahead and open the public hearing and see if there's any members of the public that want to speak and or protest on this item. I'll turn back to our city clerk and see if we have anyone on the line.
Yes, we have Mr. John Weissong.
Good evening, Mr. Weissong. Welcome back. And I'm not able to hear Mr. Weissong. I don't know if anyone else can. Let's go ahead and put him back on hold for the moment. And let me check in back in with our city clerk and see if there's other members on the line for public comments.
Yes, we have Bruce Severance.
Very good. Good evening, Mr. Severance. Good to hear you again. So feel free to make your public comments.
Yes, thank you. It was more of a question than anything. I seem to recall that the notice that went out, which I wasn't able to find in the last 10 minutes, indicated that the water and sewer bills might be integrated into the county tax assessment bill. Is that correct?
We'll go ahead and capture all your questions, and we can go ahead and respond at the end of the public comments cycle. So go ahead and ask the remainder of your questions.
Okay. To comment on that, my expressed concern is that often property owners and landlords look at water bills routinely to verify if there's any underground water leaks, and not getting bills for up to 6 months could cause significant impacts. If there are leaks, it would prevent people from mitigating that type of problem, and in my mind, have a negative impact on conservation. So that's my comment.
Okay. Very good. I'll go ahead and turn back to our city clerk and see if there's other members of the public that want to speak on this item.
Yes, we have Linda Fromm.
Very good. Good evening, Ms. Fromm.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure that I'm speaking to the exact item. I received a postcard from the city of Arroyo Grande saying that Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande were going to be, and Arroyo Grande's having some meeting on June 6th, or about, or June 10th, about moving the water bill and sewer bill from the monthly bill that goes to whoever's living in the house to the tax payment bill of the owner of the property. And I was surprised Grover Beach didn't send out a card on this issue, because when you have tenants and you're trying to do rent increases, I looked on this as an issue where this was just a way to get around Prop 13. And so I don't understand, if we're in this group of people that are the two cities, why Grover Beach just didn't even ask the owners of property in Grover Beach about this. Now, supposedly it'll be $306 a year that'll appear on the tax bill. And so, you know, when I'm trying to do my leases on property, I have to explain to the tenants why their rent is going to go up if this passes, and why it's going to be on my tax bill when they've been paying it all along. Can anybody tell me if that's part of this business to raise rates?
And we'll go ahead and capture all your questions, and I can make a comment on that particular item after we close the public hearing. So, yes, we can address your questions. So was there anything else that you wanted to add to your comments? Okay, well, thank you for those comments. So please do continue to listen in, as I'll be able to address that specific question as well. So I'll turn back to our city clerk and see if there's other members of the line on the line for public comment on this item.
We have no one else. We are going to try Mr. Weissong one more time.
Okay, very good. I'm still not hearing Mr. Weissong, so at this point, let's go ahead and consider and acknowledge that we did try to bring Mr. Weissong into the conversation. He was not able to join us via the technology. So with that, I will go ahead and close public comment on this item. I will close the Prop 218 public hearing and bring it back to the council for questions and deliberations. So. With respect to the question by Mr. Severance and as well as Ms. Froom with regards to the sewer rate and the item, I can answer that question as it was actually or is a discussion item at the South Slough Sanitation District. There was a conversation about moving the sand district portion of the sewer bills onto the county tax rolls. So there was anticipated to be a public hearing on June 2nd at the Sand District, which would have been the appropriate place for that public hearing to be, because that is the decision-making body. Arroyo Grande was going to have an informational hearing on this item, but at the last meeting, we did have a further direction on the item to the South Sand from the South Sand Board, and we did vote 2-1 to discontinue that conversation. And so the moving of the sewer portion of bills onto the county tax rolls is no longer up for consideration at the South Sand. And so it will stay with the city respectfully on our water and sewer bills. So let's see if that generated any other questions from council members. Go ahead and unmute yourself if you do have a question. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. So just to be clear, the water bills and the sanitation bills, the sanitation bill is going to stay the same. It's not going to change at all. So correct. No one's going to have to worry about redoing their leases or anything like that. Nothing's going to change.
Also correct, yes, it will continue as the Sand District portion will continue to be a pass-through on our water and sewer bill, unless I have stated that incorrectly, Ms. Purcell.
No, you are correct.
Okay, very good, thank you for that.
It's gonna stay the same.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. And irregardless of that, it was, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, that it also was not part of the Prop 218 vote for tonight's discussion. It is outside the purview of that Prop 218 vote. Let's see, any other council member questions? Very good. Then that I'll turn it back either to Ms. Purcell or members of Wildan to see if there's any closing comments that we need to make this evening.
I don't have anything, Chris or Kevin. Do you have closing comments?
Nope. Other than that was a privilege working with the city and appreciate all the support from staff through their process. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, Ms. Purcell. So from that perspective, I will consider the public hearing closed and the official number of written protests received on the proposed water and wastewater rate increases is 11. And so that number does not receive the required 50% vote of property owners or customized authorized to vote under this. And so we can proceed as a council, if I'm understanding correctly, to make a motion to adopt the resolution amending the water fee schedule for water and wastewater rates. So I'll go ahead and see who wants to make that motion.
Okay. Well, I'll move to adopt the resolution amending the master fee schedule for water and wastewater rates.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comments? If not, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
And Mayor Lee?
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for the hard work on that. And also, I know we tried to go to tiered water rates a number of years ago, but there was a San Juan Capistrano court case that kind of stood in the way of that. That has been resolved, my understanding, and we're able to do the tiered water rates, which is affording our customers, 70% of our customers, an opportunity to actually have lower water rates. So, but as we conclude this item, I also do want to mention an item in the staff report whereby if there are members of our community, whether they be residential or business related customers, we do have a assistance program. If you do find yourself in trouble of making or being able to pay your water bills and your utility rates, please call the city. We may have a program that may be of assistance for you. And so with that, I'll turn it over to either Mr. Bronson or Ms. Purcell if they wanted to expand upon that for just a moment.
Now you're correct. We have something that follows the PG&E CARES program. They can apply for that. There's also something on our website right now through the Five Cities Coalition that can offer some support for any utility customers who are having trouble paying their bills. In addition, for next year, we're proposing in the budget to use some of our ARPA funding. That's through the stimulus package where we received the $2.5 million. We are proposing to use some of that also for utility assistance for both residents and businesses.
Very good. Definitely appreciate that. And we look forward to not having to utilize that. But if there are members of the public, either from residential or commercial side, who do find themselves in that situation, that is what it's there for. So please take advantage of it if you need it. Okay. With that, I'll say thank you to Mr. Fisher and Mr. Burnett, and we'll consider action on item number 9 closed, which takes us to our regular business items, where tonight we have commercial cannabis update and policy issues. I'll turn it over to Mr. Bronson for the start of the presentation, and as he's bringing that up, I will remind folks that if you do want to comment on this item, please call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'll briefly introduce this item. This is a commercial cannabis update and policy issues item. Staff is presenting some information for the council's awareness about our commercial cannabis industry and some requested areas for council direction for future meetings. I'll just say that this is the first time that we've talked to the council about cannabis policy issues since 2019. And since 2019, the council has changed over 3/5, and a lot has happened in the commercial cannabis industry within our community. And we thought it was timely and relevant to bring these forward to the council and provide this update to you. And lastly, I'll just say that I'm very proud of the work that our staff team has done under the direction of the council. And you'll hear members of our team tonight in this presentation, as it really has been a team-based approach in regulating the industry in a very safe, successful way with a partnership for economic opportunity and community well-being. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next member of our team, Community Development Director Bruce Buckingham.
Thank you, Matt. Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'll just start with some background on our city cannabis program. Going back to November of 2016 is when the voters did approve Measure L-16 and established a cannabis tax that was based on gross receipts, except for cultivation, which is based on square feet. In May of 2017, the council adopted the initial cannabis ordinances, which have subsequently been amended several times. In January 2018, the council began approving use permits for cannabis businesses. And then finally, in May of 2018, the first cannabis business opened. In July of 2018, amendments again continued with the council making some more changes. So in total, in the last 3 years, there's been 27 cannabis business entitlements with 12 currently operating. Next slide. So here's a map showing the entitled cannabis projects. As you can see, all but one of the cannabis businesses is located in the industrial area south of Farrell Road. Of those 12 operational businesses, which are shown in green, it includes 3 retailers, 8 manufacturers or distributors, and 1 micro business. Next slide. So staff is anticipating another 4 cannabis businesses will open this year, including the 4th retailer and our first testing laboratory. Cannabis tax revenues now are projected to be $2.3 million in this fiscal year and $2.4 million in fiscal year 21-22. And it's now the 3rd largest general fund revenue source at about 15%, with cannabis sales also contributing to our sales tax revenue. Staff has provided the council with periodic cannabis updates since 2016, and council has approved, again, several ordinance changes over that time. Next slide. So tonight, staff is providing the council with a cannabis update, and we're seeking direction on 3 items. First, the cannabis permit renewal process. Second, on-site consumption lounges. And third, cannabis tax rates. Tonight is also the opportunity for the council to provide direction on other topics related to commercial cannabis activities within the city. Next slide. So moving on to the permitting requirements. A little background, the city actually requires 2 permits to operate a cannabis business in Grover Beach. The first is a use permit, which is approved by the council, or more commonly the Planning Commission. And then the applicant is required to obtain a commercial cannabis permit, or also referred to as a regulatory permit. The city manager currently approves all these commercial cannabis permits, which ensures that all regulations have been met prior to the start of operation. So conditions of approval and all of our regulatory ordinance requirements. So the permit renewal is based on the start date of operations, which varies for every cannabis business in the city. In contrast, the annual regulatory fee, which is paid by the cannabis businesses, is due on July 1st. So what we've seen is several businesses have been confused about the 2 different payment dates for the regulatory permit, commercial cannabis permit, and the regulatory fee, again, paid annually. So as a result of this, staff is recommending that the commercial cannabis permit renewal, again, the regulatory permit, occur on a specific date, preferably on July 1st to coincide with the date of the regulatory fee. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chief Peters.
Well, thank you, Bruce. My topic tonight is going to be just a couple things regarding the permitting process, and involving in the permitting process are the background investigations, which the police department does run for the regulatory program. Background investigations are required by the state law and BCC regulations, as well as our city ordinance. It is the first step to ensuring public safety and making sure that our cannabis industry is as successful as it can be. To date, the police department has conducted over 800 background investigations of owners and employees. And of those 800 background investigations, we average about 5 to 10 backgrounds per week that we are doing. Initially, when we started this background process, it was new to everybody in the state, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation as well. And our fingerprinting time period would take anywhere between 30 and 60 days. Though our staff time, we were putting together the background investigation materials, we were waiting quite a long time to get the fingerprint results back from the state and the federal government. Fortunately, over the last couple of years, everything has been streamlined. It's also been a lot more efficient, and the federal government and the state government are still on the same page and helping out. So now we have the average background time that it takes from the point somebody applies and gets their fingerprints taken by us to the time that we're actually approving them to go to work in the cannabis facility is about 7 days. The owners usually take a little bit longer, but that's just because there's a lot more that we look into in reference to their backgrounds. But otherwise, it's still a very efficient process. And because of the efficiency, we were happy to announce that we were able to reduce the fees by about 20 to 30% beginning this July 1st in reference to the new master fee schedule that the council approved recently. During our process for the background investigations, we did have several on-site visits from the Bureau of Cannabis, and they did mention to us that our regulatory program and the process that we run through is actually a model program for the state and was highly recommended for others to follow. So we're actually pretty proud of the regulatory program and the success that we have had with it. Next slide, please. So now I'll move into on-site consumption. On-site consumption is something that's been gaining a little bit more traction throughout the state. Currently, on-site consumption is allowed in the state of California with some restrictions. It's pretty common in the metropolitan areas such as San Francisco and Los Angeles. But California state law does prohibit cannabis consumption in certain areas. And those areas basically are anywhere in public. So your public streets, your sidewalks, parks, in a moving vehicle or in a parked vehicle. And there's also some other restrictions that allow property owners who are renting to individuals to limit or refuse cannabis use in those private residences. So for instance, if somebody is in an apartment complex, and even if they have medicinal purposes for cannabis use, and the landlord had already implemented a non-cannabis facility, by law, those individuals could not utilize their medicinal cannabis within their residence. So they need to find somewhere else to utilize their cannabis product. California state law also allows for these lounges to be opened anywhere in the state as long as there is a retail facility with them. So the emergence of on-site consumption lounges is rapidly growing. And recently, staff has been talking with the cannabis companies here in town, and several of them are expressing an interest into the lounge. Next slide, please. So some of the regulations that we have to be concerned with cannabis lounges is that the access is only to 21 years of age and older. Cannabis consumption cannot be visible to any public place or any non-age restricted area. So it does really have to be kind of out of sight, out of mind in the public eye. And then the bigger thing is the sale and consumption of alcohol or tobacco is not allowed on premises. There are some other regulations that the BCC has that we were hoping that would have been changed in some recent legislation, but the legislation did not pass at the State House. And some of those things are that you cannot consume or sell any non-cannabis product on a cannabis lounge facility. So if anybody wanted to buy a bottle of water or any chips or food, that currently cannot happen at a cannabis facility. So Staff brought this topic to the council back in April 2018 and 2019, May of 2019, and the council did express some interest in the on-site consumption topic and asked us to bring it back. In 2020, obviously COVID hit and we were delayed in being able to do that. So staff is bringing back the topic to council to affirm interest in consideration with examples to explore. Some of the considerations that we need to take into mind is the number of retail permits in Grover Beach right now is limited to 4. The cannabis lounges do require the connection with a retail permit. So a cannabis lounge has to be a retailer. And generally what we have seen is that those retailers are, the cannabis lounges are connected in an adjacent room to the retail facility. Our city's cannabis overlay zone is in the industrial zone, and this does offer minimal access to public transportation, unlike West Grand Avenue and other parts of the city. City regulations would need to be developed in compliance with law and BCC regulations, and obviously staff would be working with the industry as well to develop what's the best regulations for Grover Beach. Staff would bring this topic back to discuss potential regulations for on-site consumption lounges pending your council's interest. Next slide, please. And I'll turn this over to Deanne.
Thank you, Chief Peters. So let's look at cannabis tax revenues for the last 4 years. Wow, it looks really nice with our first year starting out in 2018. It was not a full year. We brought in 16,000, but jump into that year two and we were almost at $1 million. And then into year three, we almost doubled, or we did double, and we went to close to 2 million. So this year, we're estimating at the end of fiscal year 21, we had budgeted 1.5 million, but we are estimating that we're going to be bringing in 2.3 million by year end. As Bruce mentioned in one of his slides, we are projecting a budget for fiscal year 22 of 2.4 million. Next slide, please. So we took a look at 35 other jurisdictions across the state. And what we found is that Grover Beach tax rates are below average for most areas. For example, retail, our retail tax rate is 5% when the average is showing 7% across the state. Manufacturing, our tax rate is 3%. The average is 5% across the state. And then finally, distribution and testing, our tax rate is 3%. Across the state, it's 4%. Next slide, please. So we are seeing some input from industry representatives to lower the rates for distribution and manufacturing. This reduction could produce revenue loss from existing businesses, but we are presuming that we will have new business revenue. So an example would be manufacturing. A 1% reduction in tax rate would equal $136,000 reduced tax revenue. For 2%, it'd be a $272,000 loss. And distribution, a 1% reduction in the tax rate would equal $78,000 in reduced tax revenue. A 2% reduction would equal $156,000 reduced tax revenue. So these estimates are noteworthy because our proposed budget that we're going to present in June is based on the revenues from our existing rates. So the distribution rate could be one to consider lowering as the city is higher than many jurisdictions in the local region, but staff would recommend that returning to council in fall with more information and options, including tier rate structure. Next slide.
And I'll step in here to close the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Buckingham, Chief Peters, Ms. Purcell. I know it's atypical for a team presentation like this, but we really wanted to show how this has been a team approach. Other members of our team include Fire Chief Lieberman and City Attorney Hale, and it really has been a great collaborative work product. So in sum, we have a successful record of implementation, implementing the cannabis industry in a safe, responsible way. With a focus on economic opportunity, we'll also ensuring community safety, and mitigating impacts. We were the pioneers back in 2016, 2017, when we began this journey. And 4 years later, I'm proud of the work that we've done to be called a model regulatory program by the Bureau of Cannabis Control speaks volumes of the work that we've done in Grover Beach under your council's direction and stewardship. We are seeking your direction tonight on three different areas that we as staff believe is timely to bring forward: the permitting requirements, on-site consumption lounges, and cannabis tax rates. But we also would be open to other direction on other topics, such as the number of retailer permits that we have in the city, the location of cannabis businesses, or other topics that the council has discussed previously, or other topics the council would like to bring up this evening. And again, our request to you is to identify areas of direction for us to bring back and really drill down more in details. For the tax rates, for example, providing you with more information and some potential options on some potential areas such as the distribution tax rates, where we may have an opportunity to lower that rate in a way that is more advantageous for us as a community. So with that, we thank the council, and we'd be glad to take your questions and comments.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson, and so for your entire team for that great presentation. So as we bring it back to the council for questions, I will invite members of the public to call in at 805-321-6639 if you want to make a public comment on this item. But let's start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright, see if there's any questions on the presentation.
Thank you. I don't think that I have. I don't think that I really have any questions. It was a great report, by the way. Thank you. So no, I have some comments, but I don't really think I have. I have no questions. So thank you.
Very good. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Robert.
Yes, it was a great report. Thank you very much. And implementing this, I had my doubts, but everything's gone very well with the team effort. My question is, you're going to bring back more information to us, and I believe you'll do the math on when you actually lower the taxes, the revenue can actually go up. So we need to really look at that in distribution and things where people are sending their things out or selling them in areas that we're not receiving any of the taxes. So I would imagine that you will be looking at those numbers and doing the math on that situation.
That's correct, Councilmember Robert. When we bring this back to you, pending your direction to look at tax rates further, we would crunch the numbers beyond what we've done tonight. I think what I would say is that unlike the discussion in 2018, when the council lowered the rates from what voters approved, now we have real revenues that are coming in. And so changes in the rates do have a material impact. And so the estimates that Ms. Purcell mentioned are estimates based on actual revenues that we're receiving right now. And the presumption is that there'd be additional revenues either through expanded business activity or new business activity, which in some cases I think could be a very logical assumption, but it's an assumption. And so just as you modify rates and other facets, you have to look at that, what's the impact from a loss of revenue that you can tally versus the presumption that you'll have increased revenue on the horizon. And if you can have a good sense that that would occur, then that could be a key investment that you could make in those rates.
Very good. Thank you.
Very good. Good question. Good response. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Mary Lee. I do not have questions. I have comments that I'll share later.
Very good. And Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question actually circles back on the on-premise consumption in general. I know that we're at a max of 4 retailers for the city of Grover Beach at this point. Outside of extending that amount of retailers, would there be options for a current retailer to have an auxiliary location that was not necessarily within the industrial zone?
As of right now, the way the law is and the BCC regulations are, is the lounge must be attached to the retail facility.
Okay.
So it cannot have another offsite or auxiliary location.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Very good. And I didn't have any questions either, but I will have comments after we close public comment. So I will go ahead and open this to the public and invite the public to call in at 805-321-6639. And I'll turn it over to our city clerk to see if anyone has called in to comment on this item.
Yes, we have Joe Armendariz.
Good evening, Mr. Armendariz. Members of the council. Yes, good evening. I'm Joe Armendariz. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Natural Healing Center. And I want to chime in on what a great presentation that was by your staff. Our company, we have five dispensaries in five different cities, and I can tell you without hesitation that there isn't a better city to work with than the city of Grover Beach. We endorse many of the items discussed in your report this evening, and especially we want to compliment the city and the staff on the streamlining of your permitting requirements. I don't think you can overstate how important it is to be able to navigate a process that isn't too unpredictable and complex. We also endorse the idea very strongly, you might not surprise you, of keeping the retail tax the same. Important to keep in mind that even as fast as this industry is growing, and it's really the fastest growing industry in the United States today and in California, but we still undersell the black market. I think in California last year, nearly $9 billion was purchased in the black market. And so many different factors impact that, but not the least of which would be the tax rate on the legal market. So we would ask that you always keep in mind that to the extent you help our legal industry be competitive relative to the alternative, accrues to the benefit of the city, as well as the consumers through lower prices, and of course our company too. But with respect to the on-site consumption lounge concept, we couldn't be more enthusiastic about that. When you look at this industry and where it's going, on-site consumption is really the next big thing. It's already the big thing here in California, particularly in West Hollywood and San Francisco, but it's also a big thing in Illinois and many other in Colorado. So we know that this is the next big thing, and for many reasons, but not the least of which, frankly, I think has to do with the one-on-one customer experience that they have in a consumption lounge. Many of our bud tenders who are great and knowledgeable and friendly are limited in terms of how much time they can spend by virtue of the fact that people are, waiting behind them. Our dispensary in Grover Beach is very busy. And so people come in, they get their selection, and they leave. A consumption lounge concept allows people to spend quality time, not just with our bud tenders, but with each other. And maybe this is especially important with respect to the medicinal cannabis purchase, because a lot of times when you go in for medicinal reasons, you currently have to take it home and then see how it works. In a consumption lounge atmosphere, the bud tender can help make a recommendation and then literally see how it's manifesting right there at that moment. And that you can't really overstate how helpful that can be to people who particularly come in with chronic pain issues. So
very good.
We're very supportive. We think it should stay in the overlay, obviously. We think that'd be even easier from a sales point to the public. So thank you for everything you do, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Amendola, for those comments. Let's check in with the city clerk if there's any other members of the public on the line.
No, there's no one else on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment, but I will refer council members to some communications we received this afternoon with respect to tax rates and on-site consumption. I think they were and the city clerk or the city manager can indicate there seemed to be some very similar to Mr. Armendola's comments, support for on-site consumption, and then some, we'll call it potentially robust discussion about cannabis tax rates. So with that, I'll bring it back to the council to see if there's any questions that were generated by our speaker tonight. Not seeing anybody unmute themselves. Let's go ahead and start with some comments. I think my kind of approach tonight is similar to what we've done in the past, is kind of go through the three items that staff is looking for direction on, and then kind of open it up to see if there's any other items that the council members want to speak about. So let's start with comments first, and we'll start with Council Member Miller.
Thank you. Which topic did you want to start with, permitting changes? Or
if you have anything specific besides those three, why don't we go ahead and start with those? Besides those three, and then we'll come back to those?
So, no, we'll come back to them.
Okay, very good. Then does anybody have any concerns, comments outside of the three areas of direction this evening? Mayor Pro Tem Bright? Councilmember Roberts?
No, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Bright or Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I'm trying to remind myself of what the three were.
The three are permitting and renewals, kind of making consistent dates for those, either to a July 1st or January 1st. And then on-site consumption discussion, and then cannabis tax rate discussion. So far, okay, very good. So, Council Member Rushing.
No, thank you.
Okay, very good. And I think from my perspective, keeping ourselves into these three areas should get us some good direction this evening. With the potential just clarification or remembrance that Mr. Bronson can chime in on, because I always say this incorrectly, that if we were to get a application or a business that did want to relocate or locate in Grover Beach that did fall into the auspices of our economic development financial assistance program, I do want to confirm that cannabis businesses in general are open and available to use that financial assistance strategy. Correct, Mr. Bronson?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. What Mayor is referring to is in 2018, the council adopted an economic development financial assistance strategy for catalyst commercial projects, that stated that for projects that had $20 million or more of private investment, then the city could entertain some forms of assistance that could be ranging from a de minimis financial contribution to infrastructure improvements, fee deferrals, or other such tools. To date, the city has used this policy once as part of the 1598 El Camino Real hotel project that the council approved back in August of 2020. So that is an adopted policy of the council, and if there was a prospective business that met those thresholds within the cannabis space, then we could discuss that with the business and discuss potential tools with them.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification and that much better explanation than I did. So let's start with permitting and renewals. So I think the direction that's per the staff report that staff is looking for is, do we want to change or clarify our renewal date to either July 1st, which would coincide with our regulatory fee payments, or to potentially January 1st to coincide with business tax certificates, or to make no changes at all. So go ahead and start with Council Member Miller.
Thank you, Mary Lee. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's January or July, but I think it makes sense to consolidate the permitting to just one time a year to reduce confusion and tracking efforts for both the city and the businesses.
Very good. Council Member Rushing?
I'll agree with Council Member Miller on that one as well.
Very good. My
question really is, since it is a rolling scenario currently, if someone was, say, due today to renew and we were pushing it to this new date, would their permit be extended for that portion? And how does that mechanism work?
I'll take that one. That's something that we would need to devise as part of the ordinance, and we would bring back this fall. It is something that we've already talked about. How would that roll in if you were close to your date? So I think the goal there would simply, though, to make it as easy as possible. We're trying to reduce the regulation on the business owners, not make it more onerous. So we would come back with, I think, a good approach to resolving that issue.
And just to expand on that, there'd be no change in the current policy until we had an ordinance that was brought to the council and adopted. So the current approach would be in place until the ordinance change was made.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
I concur, just to keep it simple for the business owners, and they do it at one time of the year, and I don't think it matters, January or July, just so long as it's all at the same time. And I would imagine probably do some type of prorating for the people that are coming up with their permit. But the city staff will figure that out, I'm sure. Thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, looks like you're concurring as well. And I am in concurrence as well. So, as my colleagues mentioned, I'm okay with whatever date works best for city staff and finance staff and the businesses in general. So, whichever day you pick, I will be good with. So, looks like we've got concurrence on the permitting and renewals. Was there anything else on that particular item that I missed?
No, I just add that, again, staff provided information on the background investigations process to help inform the council and the public about our current process and how thorough it is and how we believe it has been a key part of our success as an industry. And staff's not recommending any changes beyond the efficiency improvements that we've made, as the chief mentioned.
Very good. Well said. And yes, I think it is good to acknowledge that the fact that our program is successful and has led to a safe and understandable rollout process. And thank you to staff for always being available for process improvements, which includes reduction of fees where appropriate. So very good. Then we will go ahead and start the discussion on on-site consumption. And so let's see where we go with this one. Let's start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright on this one.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd really like to pursue that. I'd like to see staff come back with some information. I like that we would be on the cutting edge. I'd like to see how we could make that safe for folks that are traveling from the consumption lounge, as well as for people who are just traveling the streets, who are just, you know, going home from wherever they are, or going to wherever they're just going. So, but I think it could be I'm very interested to see how that would work. So I am in support of finding out more about that.
Very good. Thank you. Before we go to the next council member, so would any thoughts or discussion about potentially expanding to Grand Avenue?
My first thought on that would be I would not be okay. In favor of that.
Okay, very good. Just wanted to throw that out as an option for discussion. So Councilmember Roberts.
I'll throw that out too. I'm not in favor of that either, Grand Avenue. I am interested in the consumption lounges, and I'm sure it's been around for some time, but the bud tender is kind of hitting kind of funny. It's a bartender, bud tender. But I would imagine the liabilities would probably be similar to that of a bar. Something it is new and something we would need to check into as far as exposing the city to any liabilities if someone was to leave there and get an accident. That would be left up to, of course, city attorney to investigate that. But I'm in favor. I'm surprised they don't allow food. That kind of surprises me. I can understand alcohol and cigarettes, but food, well, I'm not sure why you wouldn't want food in there. But yeah, it's something that the city should pursue for sure. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Miller.
Thank you. So
I am open to hearing more information, and I'm open to discussion on potential regulations for on-site consumption. I am most interested, as you're forming those potential regulations, in knowing how the city plans to mitigate potential for DUIs and public safety issues. As far as having a location on Grand Avenue, I think I'm with my colleagues, I'm leaning towards no. I just don't see that as being a great base for the city as people are traveling through our downtown.
Very good. Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I am definitely in support of continuing this conversation without a doubt. I know from talking to people, especially out-of-town visitors that are using Grover Beach as a destination location, that they find it incredibly difficult to both consume and consume legally the products that we're able to sell. So having an option for people to consume in a safe location, I think is fantastic. To Councilmember Miller's point as well, I am concerned about transportation issues. A bartender isn't allowed to sell somebody a drink if they know that they're intoxicated. I'm not exactly sure how it works with a consumption lounge, but I would love to engage a conversation with these retailers regarding shuttles specifically going through to our local hotels that was supported by them. I think that could be fantastic. There's some very interesting branding that I could definitely imagine that could happen with that shuttle. Regarding food, I'm very surprised that they can't have food, but I could certainly imagine a couple of food trucks hanging out in front, taking care of them in that fashion or another. So those are my comments at this point. Definitely want to learn more about this process, and looking forward to seeing how we move forward. Thank you.
Certainly. And just for consistency's sake, any consideration of expanding the on-site consumption to Grand Avenue?
I'm going to weigh in with the rest of the council right now. I could see how it could be a conversation in the future. We certainly have a variety of different kinds of businesses along that corridor. And personally, I know 2 years ago I was in Breckenridge, Colorado, and just going through the downtown, it was littered literally every half a mile with a dispensary location. It's not outside the realm of normal that exists in our current day and age. And as a tourist location, that's not outside the realm of possibility.
Okay. Very good. I'll start off by saying I'm in concurrence that I would not like to see us expand the retail footprints onto Grand Avenue for the purposes of either retail or on-site consumption. I think we've done a very concerted effort to make sure that the brick and mortar efforts that we have in our industrial zones, who have invested quite a bit of capital and marketing investment into Grover Beach, I think we need to continue to have them give an opportunity to thrive in the locations. But I am supportive of having a future discussion about on-site consumption, and echo my colleagues' concerns with respect to how do we do this safely, how do we do it in accordance with reduced liability and mitigation of risk for the city, whether that means shuttles or transportation or some level of discussion regarding protections of on-site consumption into the particular locations. I'm seeing a opportunity for benefit to the city and to those retailers to do it correctly and to have that conversation. Perhaps while we don't have a legislative agenda per se, As we do have conversations with the BCC and our legislators, perhaps we as a city can advocate for the state modifying some on-site consumption to allow non-alcoholic beverages and food in either proximity to that to the businesses or some other avenue for allowing some type of on-site consumption understanding when it comes to that. So, Mr. City Manager, anything else you need from us regarding on-site consumption? Looks like we've got a very concerted no on Grand Avenue, but a very concerted yes to consider other parts of the conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I recorded that direction as well. So on these first two items, I know we'll get to tax rates in a second. We heard a very clear direction from the council to bring back items to you on the ordinance amendment for the permitting change, and then for the on-site consumption policy discussion, a deeper conversation to really get into the potential regulations, the outline, how we would mitigate the concerns around DUIs and safe transportation. And staff would intend to bring this back to you in fairly short order, because we think that there is an opportunity from a timing standpoint to keep this conversation going quickly. And so by late summer, early fall, I think we'll be in a position to have this conversation with you again.
Very good. Definitely appreciate that approach. And that takes us to the cannabis tax rates. So let's see. Obviously, there's quite a breadth of opportunity that we can have on these. So let's, again, start the conversation and figure out where we end up. So I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright on this one.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate that we are right there in the low average. So I think that we're talking about manufacturing. If we can get down there in the low area without hurting ourselves too much, I think that's something that we may want to take a look at. It seems though that with the distribution tax that we are already there pretty much from what I can see, particularly in our surrounding areas, in the surrounding area, excuse me. So I don't think I'd mind maybe taking a look at if my colleagues concur, we want to maybe drop it a percent, but I don't think that would really help. From what I'm seeing anyway, it really wouldn't make us any more competitive. So I think that's what staff recommended makes sense to me. So I would be supportive of staff's recommendation there, lowering the manufacturing tax rate, I think by 1%. I think would make sense. And I would go along. I'll see what the rest of the council says, but that makes sense to me at this point in time. Thank you.
And very good. Thank you for those comments. And just a quick clarification from our city manager. There's not really any recommendations on the table this evening. It would be for future discussion based upon potential impacts to the revenues. Is that a fair way to say that?
That is correct, Mr. Mayor, and I would expand on that and say that as we look at the different rates, staff would see that the manufacturing rate is actually fairly competitive as it is. It's the distribution rate that we believe there could be some opportunity to lower based on the overall regional comparison. So I believe that Mayor Pro Tem Bright may have just had those two inadvertently in a different direction, that distribution may be the area where we could go down a bit based on the regional comparisons and the linkage to the distribution rates. So I think that was what the Mayor Pro Tem was articulating, if I was understanding her thoughts correctly.
Story of my life. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those clarifications. Let's go to Councilmember Miller next.
Thank you. I am open to more discussion on implementing a tiered tax rate structure for distribution. If that benefits the city and is a potential to retain and attract business to Grover Beach.
Okay. And next we'll go to Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, sir. I'm also open to continuing the conversation regarding potential reductions in the tax rate on distribution. I think everything else looks to be relatively in line with our other communities, and look forward to seeing the future reports. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
Yeah, it was my understanding that they were going to come back, the city staff was going to come back with some numbers later to discuss it, but I'm in concurrence with the rest of the council. Thank you.
Very good, and I'm in concurrence. I think I'm hearing a discussion on distribution and specifically a possibility of a tiered system with respect to that. I know from a, as Councilmember Robert mentioned, while it perhaps may be counterintuitive, a reduction in tax rates may actually spur, or maybe it's Councilmember Miller that mentioned it, may actually spur some additional investments in the city. So I'd be supportive of taking a look at tiered rates for our structured tax rates. Realizing that we don't have a testing lab in place, I'd be curious to see from the council standpoint if there was a potential for a tiered tax rate discussion on testing as well, realizing there's not really knowing how that portion of the industry quite operates, it might be beneficial to have a conversation on that tiered tax structure just to make sure that we don't outpace ourselves from a testing standpoint. So if with council concurrence, I think it might be beneficial to just include a brief discussion on that in the cannabis tax rate discussion, if my colleagues are okay with that. Seeing thumbs up and nodding heads, we'll include that in our discussion. And then I would kind of go towards the manufacturing tax rate, where I do agree that we are in alignment with our local cities. I think it might be beneficial, again, to just to remind investors that we do have that financial assistance program, because if I recall, either Mr. Buckingham or Mr. Bronson can remind me, we do have approximately 150,000 square feet of manufacturing buildings that have been approved in the city that just haven't started construction for potential various reasons, such as material costs. Am I saying that correctly? Seeing nods of affirmation from both of them, I'll say that I said that correctly. So from that perspective, those are the three items that staff has looked to us for direction tonight. Mr. Bronson, anything else that you need from us on this item, or are we good?
I would say we're good, unless the council has any other cannabis-related items that you would like to raise. Again, we've listed a few in the staff report, such as the number of retailer permits, the location beyond the overlay zone, though I think the council has spoken to that earlier. Council direction has been to not allow non-physical storefront retailers, meaning a mobile delivery service. The council has stated, and our ordinance reflects this, that you have to have a physical storefront presence in order to have a retail operation in Grover Beach. So from staff's end, unless the council provide direction to modify any of these, we would continue to work with that direction and our ordinance in mind, again, unless the council took any desire to change any of those or other topics that you'd like to raise with regards to our cannabis implementation.
Sounds good. And so I think that's a good way to wrap this up. We kind of did that at the beginning, kind of to see if there's anything that was strongly in people's minds. Went through the three items that council is looking for, staff is looking for direction on. And now we'll kind of close that with another memory jog question, and I see Councilmember Roberts. What would you like to add?
Just a quick question, Mr. Bronson. If you have a storefront Can you make deliveries? I didn't catch that.
Yes, sir. I believe each of the three retailers currently operating does make deliveries. And so what the difference is that some communities allow for a retailer to not have a direct storefront presence. So they only have a delivery service. And historically, our council has not wanted to see that in Grover Beach. The council wanted to see the brick and mortar investments within the community and the storefront presence. And so as of now, we do not allow a pure mobile delivery service from operating.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody want to provide any additional comments or suggest a change to that policy? Not seeing any microphones coming off. I will go ahead and just do one last round of anything else to add on this item. We'll start with Councilmember Rushing.
I have nothing else, sir. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller.
Not for me. Thank you.
Councilmember Roberts.
Not for me either. Thank you, Mayor.
And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No, thank you.
Very good. Then I think we are concluding this item. I will go ahead and just say one last thank you to our staff who's done a great job of implementing policy direction from the council. And then also a thank you to the community for believing that we could do this, enact this, and do it safely and respectfully for all businesses and concerns that people may have had at the very beginning have not come to fruition, or we've been able to mitigate those as well. So just want to say one last thank you, and we will conclude that item, which takes us to number 11 this evening, which is an update on the 2021 City Council assignments to boards, commissions, and committees. And before I turn it over to the city manager, I will invite those that want to speak on public comment on this item to call in at 805-321-6639. So, City Manager Brunson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a brief item here. There are a couple of additional updates that we're asking the council to make to your list of 2021 council assignments. The first is there is a schedule conflict that staff is aware of regarding the Zone 3 meetings, and the representative for the Zone 3 meetings who is not able to make those meetings, so the council will be asked to make another appointment. And then we recently received a request from the Economic Development Organization, REACH, requesting a council representative to their new Slo County Advisory Committee, which meets quarterly with the first meeting coming up at the end of May. And so we're asking the council to identify this liaison to this advisory committee. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. City Manager. So at this point, I'll turn it over to the council to ask any questions. Any questions, Councilmember Miller?
Not for me. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Robert.
Maybe just a question on the REACH committee meets every quarter. What time to date do they meet? Is that a good time to ask that question? Just a good question.
If you give me a moment, I can try to track that down.
Because we're going to assign someone there tonight.
Yeah, so we'll come back to that in just a moment once Mr. Brunson can confirm what the dates are. And I'll turn to Mr. Rushing, see if he has any questions.
No, I have no questions.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, not a question, but a comment regarding South County Transit Committee. I'm wondering why they have not applicable for a representative.
So perhaps the city manager can confirm, but I believe, aren't they in the process of consolidating into RTA?
Well, they have consolidated, but there is still a separate meeting. I'm the representative, and I was at that meeting just this past week.
Perhaps that's a clarification that staff will need to make on our committee assignments.
Okay. Thank you.
So it sounds like you're already representing, so we don't need to make that change.
Yes, they just picked, I wasn't even asked. It's just because whoever was on the RTA board for that, for Grover Beach was chosen, and for Rio Grande, So Jimmy Paulding is, and I am. And then Dawn Ortiz-Legg, since she's South County Supervisor. So that's our board, basically.
Okay. Very good. So Mr. Bronson, were you able to track down a meeting date?
I was, and we'll make the change for the SCT meetings, as noted earlier. We apologize for that oversight. The meetings for the REIT SLO County Advisory Commission are May 26th, July 28th, September 22nd, and November 17th at 4 p.m. on those Wednesdays, 4 p.m. on those Wednesdays.
Okay, so it was it would be considered consistent on a quarterly basis with the former EDC meeting schedule, obviously on a quarterly basis, where EDC used to meet on a monthly basis. So,
correct. Okay,
very good. Well, not necessarily a public comment item. I will go ahead and check with our city clerk and see if anyone has called in at 805-321-6639 for public comment on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment on this item, bring it back to the council for discussion and possible action. And I guess I'll just kind of throw out an option here as perhaps a prerogative, realizing that Councilmember Robert had a scheduling conflict with Zone 3, and perhaps this might be a good one for Councilmember Miller to consider, realizing that you're our Homeless Services Oversight Council, but it might be good to expand into a water-related committee as well. So is that something you might be open to consideration?
I am. I'm happy to take that spot.
Okay. Anybody else have any strong feelings about the want or desire to have Zone 3? Very good. Then we'll go ahead and make a motion for all of these in the near future. But let's have a conversation on the REACH appointments. So realizing that Mayor Pro Tem Bright has a number of items on her plate, I was thinking perhaps either Councilmember Rushing or Councilmember Roberts. This might be Councilmember Rushing. You've got the Chamber of Commerce and the Visits locale. And so it might be appropriate for you to consider this, but Councilmember Robert only has one other committee assignment. So I don't know if there's a desire on one or both of your parts to arm wrestle for this one.
If I can talk to this, I would be honored to work with the REACH board. I think that working with them in conjunction with the South County Chambers and Visit SLOCAL gives us a great amount of visibility into pretty much everything that's going on in our county. I would be honored to be a part of that.
That's fine.
Okay. So from that perspective, so we've got Councilmember Miller for Zone 3, Councilmember Rushing for REACH. Let's go ahead and have a quick discussion about alternates for those. Let's see, for Zone 3,
I believe I am the alternate on Zone 3 at this point.
Very good. So we'll keep that right where it's at. So thank you for that confirmation. For REACH, so is there some Councilmember Robert? So any discussion on that one? But I think that's a good good choice for an alternate there. And then how about South County Transit? We probably should have an alternate there as well. And not hearing anything to the contrary, I'd be happy to be the alternate for that if there needs to be one, unless someone unmuted themselves. Okay, so at this point we've got Zone 3 as Councilmember Miller with an alternate of Councilmember Rushing, Councilmember Rushing as the REACH primary, and Councilmember Robert as the alternate, Mayor Pro Tem Bright as the South County Transit primary, and myself as the alternate. Any other discussion or comments on any of those? Very good. Mr. Bronson, any other items on this before we consider a motion?
No, sir. We thank the council for your flexibility in updating the assignments. So to confirm, all the other assignments not addressed tonight will continue as they were previously assigned. And the final assignment list, which will get out to the council afterwards, will reflect the changes tonight, but then keep the current ones in place.
Very good. Appreciate that. One clarification question, because I realize or I recall that Zone 3 does require County Board of Supervisors action. Has Mr. Rushing been put into service as the alternate, or will they take both our primary and our alternate at the same time?
I don't know the answer to that. Perhaps our city clerk could speak to that.
And the only reason I ask the question is because typically, unless the board has approved the primary or the alternate, we would be a participant, but not a voting participant. And so I'll just check with our city clerk, see if she perhaps has an update on that.
Mayor Lee, I know they're both in the process. It has not come to the board yet. They were awaiting this change as they knew this change was coming up. So I will check with them in the morning and make sure that Councilmember Rushing is on there and let them know of the change.
Very good. Thank you for that. So with that, unless there's any comments, I am prepared to entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion that we adopt the resolution confirming the council assignments and authorize the city clerk to update the FPPC Form 806 for posting to the city website.
I'll second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller.
Yes.
Councilmember Robert.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So that concludes work on that item as well. Thank you, everyone, for putting that together. So that takes us back to an opportunity for public communications where anyone can call in at 805-321-6639 to speak on any item not on the council agenda this evening for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total, and any items of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. So I'll turn to our city clerk and see if we have anyone on the line for public communications at this time.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the council, which takes us to council committee reports. Let's check in with, bear with me just a second. As we check in, let's check in with Councilmember Miller.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Rushing.
I have no report at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Bless you, Councilmember Miller. And Councilmember Roberts.
I do have a report. Last month at the RAC meeting, last month at the Board of Supervisors meeting, they approved the resolution which established a policy regarding surveillance of the potential drainage problems within the district and the manner in which are necessary to remedy these problems and how it will be funded. So that was a good thing that the board approved that. The committee, RAC committee, also reviewed the 2021-22 budget management that the board adopted. So completed an internal assessment of the existing drainage studies throughout the whole county. And the following potential topics have been identified for the 2021-22 RAC year, which is the urban water management plan, the agricultural irrigation efficiencies, the landscape irrigation efficiencies, the industrial water efficiency, drought conditions and impacts, desalination, water, stormwater capture. All these topics will be discussed during this year. And Proposition 68, the floodplain management protection and risk awareness grant program solicitation, is going to be opened up this summer in 2021 with approximately $25 million available. So we'll have to come up with some submissions to submit to the county-wide stormwater resource plan to receive some of those funds. And that was it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that report. So next we'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright, see what committee meeting she had this time.
Thank you. I had several. The first being South County Transit, the first meeting after consolidation. And highlights were, well, there were elections. They wanted to do elections, but it wasn't on the agenda. So we have to wait until next time. I'm hoping that I'm intending to nominate Jimmy Paulding, but don't tell him. So the big good news is that there's a limited need for LTF funds or local transportation funds, no acronyms, that's right. And that means that there will be more funds that can be used for local transportation needs. So that's a good thing, and that's due to carryover from the CARES Act funds. Also, there were some route changes on Atlantic City and 9th Street. So those routes were changed a bit, and there's going to be new smaller buses that are going to be delivered early next year. That'll be a lot easier for folks to get on and off of, and they'll be smaller, and so it's just going to make that route a lot nicer, as well as the Transit Center at Ramona Garden Park is going to be moved over to the multimodal center at the train station. So that is going to happen, and it'll just make that whole area much nicer. As a result of the route changes over Atlantic City and 9th Avenue, all of the stops on North Oak Park are going to be eliminated. That has always been an issue, I guess, with the transit agency, because it's been rather dangerous going up Oak Park, stopping and pulling out and so on. So those will be eliminated. I think those are the highlights for South County. And then RTA met as well after that. Both those agencies are having a heck of a time recruiting and retaining employees. RTA had planned to do a new route from our train station, River Beach train station, using the trolley to the Pismo Preserve, but they had to postpone that because they have no one to drive it. They have no staff. So if you know of anyone who's looking for a job, refer them to Slow RTA, because they can really use it. They're going to suspend the summer free ride program. However, they may not now if full fares are implemented and if they can get enough money, then they'll continue those summer youth full ride programs. And I think that's pretty much the majority of that is happening.
Okay, very good. Thank you for those updates. So the only update I do have, I've kind of already provided, which was the South Slo County Sanitation District, which came up during our water rate discussion. But the main topic was whether to continue with the potential rollout and public hearing process for placing of the Sand District sewer portion onto the tax rolls. And that process has been suspended and is no longer moving forward. So with that, that's the only update I have there. But let's turn it over to League of California Cities Policy Committees. Nothing from myself. Didn't have a committee this month. And that takes us to Council Communications. Let's start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright, see if she has any communications this evening.
I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Roberts.
I have nothing to report either. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller?
I had a member of the public email advocating for improvements to Grand Avenue. So in response, I shared our budget and our city goals, which include revitalization of that main corridor. So I think that satisfied this person. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that. Councilmember Rushing.
I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Very good. I just do have a couple items to report, a couple of requests, but first an update on the fact that the Fiesta at Finn's raised approximately $17,500 for the Five Cities Homeless Coalition programs. So a success for anyone who happened to be in line. I know Councilmember Robert was on foot the entire time, and so imagine his feet were probably pretty tired. When I got there, at about 5:45, it took a nice winding path to get a series of really good dinner from Finn's for that. So we always appreciate their willingness to do that, and the Homeless Coalition programs benefit. Councilmember Robert has a chance to see a lot of people from the community that I'm sure he knows and loves. So next up is, received two proclamation requests and just wanted to kind of confer by consensus from a council standpoint. We received a request for to have a proclamation for Hunger Awareness Day for June 4th. And if we concur, then the city manager can find time on either of the next two agenda items for that. So I think I saw concurrence by nodding heads, so it's good. And then also did get a request to acknowledge Pride Month again this year. If you may recall, last year, Grover Beach became one of the only local cities, if not the first local city, to raise the Pride flag in recognition of June being Pride Month. And we did get Gay and Lesbian Alliance, or LGBTQ plus Pride Month is in June, and we did get another request this year to have an acknowledgement of that and to fly the Pride flag. Realizing we did have some turnover in council, wanted to give us an opportunity if there was any concerns or a consensus to move forward with that item. So looking like I see a lot of shaking heads, we'll go ahead and move forward with that as well. I'll end on a quick hopeful note, and I don't know if Chief Peters wants to update this as well, but we did just have a proclamation for National Police Week, and I'm seeing a report that two SLO police officers were shot and wounded while serving a warrant in San Luis this evening. And so hopes and thoughts are that they are both okay and that situation resolves expeditiously and safely for all involved. But just wanted to mention that this evening. So with that, I'll turn it over to our city manager for any reports and comments that he may have this evening.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just two items for you this evening. One is that, as I usually report out, there's a lot of construction taking place all across the city. I'll start off with our park improvement project at 16th Street Park. You don't have to go very close to the park to see this big treehouse that is being installed as we speak. It is the treehouse fort playground that the council approved and is coming alive as we speak. The construction is going very well, and we anticipate the project completing over the next few weeks and a COVID-safe grand reopening coming up in June for a beautiful new playground for our community. We're very pleased to be able to show this off here very soon. We also have two street projects under construction. South 14th Street has a brand new coat of asphalt and new corner ramps, new sidewalk infill. So the K14 street program continues to move forward and deliver real results across our community. We also have the gas company doing some work in preparation for our next project on Trueville, Manhattan, Seabright, and some other streets in the area. Our Highland Sewer project is just about wrapped up in the industrial area that brings our city sewer to more properties in our industrial community. And future projects coming up here very soon include the intersection improvements at Oak Park and Grand, restriping of the Pike from Oak Park to 13th Street, and then our light maintenance street project that will affect 23 different street segments around the city. So again, a very busy public works department, very busy set of construction to make our community even better. So thanks again for the council's support with that. And then secondly, given the continued improvements in our COVID metrics, our COVID numbers across the community, we are actively planning for the reopening of our city facilities to public access. We have a staff team that is working on this as we speak, and we anticipate being open once again for public access by the end of May. We are taking a lot of steps to make sure that our employees and the public is safe in how we re-access public facilities, including face covering wearing, sanitation, distancing, all the usual requirements that we're now expected and seeing in stores and other establishments across the community. So just know that is coming by the end of May. We'll have more information to the council and public once we land on a firm date. And we are following the expected release of state restrictions coming up in mid-June as a point that we would likely then look at resuming in-person council meetings once again later this summer. So stay tuned on that. We're getting our chamber ready to go for the resumption of in-person council meetings in a safe manner for the council and the public as well. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those updates. Appreciate that. Next, I'll turn it over to our city attorney for any reports and comments that he might have this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I talked quite a bit earlier, so at this point, I don't have anything else. So thank you.
Very good. So we have no closed session items this evening, so we are adjourned until our next council meeting. So thank you, everyone. Good work tonight, and we'll see you all again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, all.